Welcome on into the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and David Sis. Boom Bah. We are live and in color. Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6, Sportsnet 590. And if you can't catch us live, download us at your convenience. And it is Friday, isn't it?
Apparently.
Is it Friday?
Yeah, quick week.
Is it off the rails Friday?
It is.
I don't know what it feels like.
We don't know what it feels like.
No.
But we do know in about 30, 40 minutes, we'll welcome in Luke Fox from Sportsnet.ca, who was at the press conference today.
Yeah.
That included Keith Pelley, Brendan Shanahan, and Brad Treliving. Top of the hour, we're going to find Doug McLean. Apparently, he's traveling, so we won't have him on a Zoom, so he doesn't have to wear a sport coat for us.
It's nice.
He told me the location he is. I can look at my phone, but he's traveling.
Knowing him, he'll get a flat right during the segment or something.
That's fine. We'll get entertaining Doug if that's the case.
We'll get really extremely entertaining Doug.
He said, on the road from Chicago to Port Huron, Sarnia. On the phone? Okay.
Port Huron, Sarnia. Okay.
There you go. / Sarnia.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, the most anticipated, I think, press conference in a while that kind of kept us, I don't know if guessing is the right word, but what would be said, how would they say it, all came to fruition earlier this morning with Keith Pelley, Brendan Shanahan, and Brad Treliving.
Wish you could have live, like done it live. Like people watch it as a reaction video, like the Manning cast. We could have just watched it and judged it in real time. But we'll do our best now, Ken.
So let's want to go to some clips. You guys want to get some early thoughts out in terms of anything surprise you, not surprise you. For me, I probably we got everything we thought we would get.
What did you think, Kippy?
Yeah.
I thought it was exactly the way I thought it would play out.
Yeah.
Where it was everybody's on the same page. There's some short-term goals because this team has to win now still. So it's not about long-term anymore. Overall, I saw especially Brendan Shanahan, to a lesser degree, Brad Treliving, two guys that would rather be anywhere but up on that podium. Like, get me off as fast as you can.
They're very short statements. The prepared parts were very succinct. Yeah.
So Keith Pelley's the new guy. He's going to come in. We've seen that kind of before with others like Richard Petty or Lewicki, where they come in and they're like,
bluster.
Yeah, we're ready to go. I want to win the Stanley Cup and we're not going to settle for anything less. And, you know, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, he did that too.
What's that?
He did that too.
Yeah, he did that. Well, what else is he going to say?
I guess my takeaway was, for one, to me, when everyone claims responsibility, that's what everyone is saying. You want to see accountability. You want to see, you know, people taking responsibility, be accountable. When everyone does it, it doesn't feel like anyone has taken accountability. You know what I mean?
Sheldon's
like, I'm accountable. It's me. And Brent Shanny said, you know, it was me. I'm responsible. And Tree says, it was me. I'm responsible. And everyone looks like they've taken personal accountability. And it's like, wait, did no one just take accountability? So,
well,
that feels like shit. But what else are you supposed to do? Everyone said what they had to say.
Sam, you get a few words in here and then we'll
carry on. I don't think that Brendan Shanahan expected to be there. Didn't feel like he expected to be there. Like, he's been so, in these other media press conferences that he's done at these end of year things, he's been so full of conviction and like belief. And today it felt so different than it normally feels.
What would you say?
His theme was impatience.
You do here.
Did you pick that? Like, a number of times he talked about how, you know, there's times to be patient. This is not the time for that.
I just felt like he was, you're right, didn't want to be there.
Well,
but sick of doing this same thing and a little bit tired, boys. That's what I got from him.
I don't claim to know Brendan Shanahan well. I competed against him. I've had some beers with him. I know him like I know a lot of people in the league. But I've, to Sammy's point, like, I've never seen that type of kind of projection from him. He is a very confident guy. He's got an aura when he walks in the room. And it's like that kind of got stripped today.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, he knows it. He's not dumb. He knows he's disappointed a lot of people, probably him the most.
Yeah.
himself the most. 10 years to try to bring a Stanley Cup might be one of the only things he's truly failed up until this point. And he's going to get another crack at it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's ever experienced anything like this in his life, anything he's ever done before. He looked like a guy that this is new to me.
Yeah.
Not succeeding.
Can I ask you, because this press conference basically was just set up for everyone to tell him that his plan didn't work. Mm-hmm. Right? Like,
this is like an intervention, a provincial intervention.
Not to use that word, but at the core of all of these questions, they're all like, hey, man, this ain't working.
Yeah.
And this is your idea.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? And he just had to sit there and kind of take it, I felt like.
Yeah, I thought Keith Pelley came in and said, winning's our priority. That's what everyone wants to hear. Yeah. I thought Brad Treliving talked like a human, which was amazing. He got up there and just said kind of his thoughts and where they're at. Chaney had a tougher role today.
Listen, he ate a crap sandwich today. Let's be honest.
That's right.
It's okay. He's a big boy. He can take it. Today was just about for him. And to a lesser extent, Brad, just get it over with.
Let's have it.
Let's just give it to me.
But we did learn some things. We didn't hear him say, we believe in this core and it's going to be fine. You know, it's different than other years. We expected him to not do that. But
all right, well, we'll get into some of those clips. But we'll start with the new boss, Keith Pelley, on his opening statement.
I will not make this a habit of participating in team operation news conferences, but this is different. This is the first time I've spoken publicly at a news conference as the CEO of MLSE. And with that title brings the heavy responsibility of overseeing the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I relish in that opportunity. And at the core of that responsibility is the real reason I came back to Toronto. And that is to win. Good is simply not good enough. I can assure you that is the collective position of ownership. And when I asked during the interview stage what was the definition of success to the owners, one of them immediately said emphatically, just win.
I mean, I want to hear that. I do.
Do you really?
I do, Kip.
Good is simply not good enough. Should be on every...
But he wrote that down. That's on his paper, for sure.
I don't suggest that I have... If I was in Keith Pelley's shoes, I wouldn't do the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay? But it's just stating the obvious.
Well, but he's got to state it.
I know. But like, I'm for me personally, and I'm sure there's a few Leaf fans, like, we're beyond that. Like, no, it's not winning.
Yeah. Great. Right? Great observation.
Right? No. I get that. Like, he's at the head of a huge organization, and you know, you can try to talk about running a fluent thing or including everyone, or we want everyone to feel whatever. No, it was nothing. I don't think anyone wanted to hear about feelings or direction or whatever. They just want to win. That's all anyone wants. Yeah. So he went up and said, well, we want to win. And everyone went, great.
Okay. You know, that's why we got everybody together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've heard people less positive than I am on that, but I don't know.
I thought, you know, he came out hot. Like, with that first opening statement, I'm like, okay, here we go.
And then did he get you excited? Did he get you feeling like, I'm going to be different from all the rest of them?
Listen, like you said, I've seen a lot of these boys. I've been through this.
Yes.
Like,
looks like he's 60.
But right? I might as well be with the amount of stuff I've seen
in
over my
fan years.
Yeah. He said the right things, but... Talk is always cheap in these things. I've seen the exact same thing said over and over in these things.
So this is where we're at now. Like, okay, it's not about this 45-minute press conference. It's like, what are you guys going to do about it now?
Yeah.
Right? That's the core.
Someone tweeted something like, we hear this rah-rah, winning is everything, and then you hear in the summer, Joel Edmondson extended. That's the plan? You know, like, what's going to be different? That's what you want to hear about the player personnel, and we never got there.
Did you get out of Keith Pelley anything on his feeling of bringing a team together.
Yeah, how to win a Ryder Cup.
Let's listen to clip two.
I've always believed that the formula for success is great skill combined with chemistry and unity. And in the midst of facing adversity in the first series down 3-1, I got a full glimpse of the chemistry and unity that Brad and Brendan have. I cannot comment on what has transpired over the last number of years, but I can tell you that chemistry and unity is the critical components that add with skill in order to be successful, and winning is winning the Stanley Cup.
So
that's noteworthy, too.
I actually took out the Ryder Cup part because it's just...
I wasn't paying attention as hard as I should have.
To what, the Ryder Cup?
Yeah, what was his golf comparison?
He was the president of the DP Tour.
Yes.
And he had some involvement in the Ryder Cup. I don't know. It's not like he was Trevor Immelman.
No.
It's not like he was Rory McIlroy.
Been a part of sporting success in a similar role where you're not Austin Matthews, yes. But you're the one.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Winning the Stanley Cup was a nice clarification.
He put a lot of value in the two games that got the Leafs back into the series at 3-3 against Boston.
Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did that
save jobs?
Could have. One thing that, so it's not so much Pelly there, but there are even Shanny mentioned, like, you know, these guys weren't here before, and Tree at one point was like, I wasn't here before, or whatever. I don't buy that part of any argument. Like, your job is to know what has happened before you. We don't know. I wasn't in the Roman times, but there are people who have done research on the Roman times, so they understand it. You know, like, they need to have a thorough understanding of what happened before them. That's their job now.
Such a cop-out just to say, I wasn't here, I don't know.
So Pelly, I'll give him some grace. It's been 4 weeks.
Yeah.
You got some grace to really get into it. Tree's been here a year now. There's no more, I wasn't here, I don't... That still counts. That was still included in the time that you're supposed to be evaluating, whether you're there or not.
Yep, agree.
But he did, he also mentioned that a bit too. So I thought Tree was bang on with most of it.
What else sticks out?
Well, I think...
The numbers, the analytics?
No, I just thought... And the comfort he had in discussing the team and the direction they want to go felt to me like someone not reading a prepared statement or trying to blow smoke, but just... It was just a general... I'm talking about the feel in listening to Brad Tree Living talk.
I cut 5 clips. I could have cut a few more. The audio wasn't excellent at the... talking about why he changed the head coach.
Yeah.
But I thought the most noteworthy couple, we can start with this one, and it's more about the on-the-ice product, but the clip on the lack of playoff scoring to me was actually really good if we want to start there with Tree Living.
Yeah, it's a good question, Kevin. I think there is when I've gone back now and kind of looked at it, there are some there's some similar touch points, right? One of them is we haven't scored enough. When I looked at this situation and spent some time over the course of the summer we wanted to try to... This team has scored in the regular season, hasn't scored in the playoffs. We increased our scoring in the regular season this year. I think we were the second highest scoring team in the NHL. We were the number one scoring team in the East. We increased, I think, our total goals for by 20 last year, or this year over the previous year. One of the things I wanted to try to do is it wasn't total goals, it's how the goals are scored in the playoffs. You score differently in the playoffs than you do in the regular season. So is it systematic? Is it personnel? I think most of us in this room would understand it's more difficult. You're defended harder. You're played against harder in the playoffs. So we haven't scored enough. We haven't. Our special teams haven't been good enough. And to your question, we seem to be turning the other team's goalie into the first star every night.
That's when I text you guys. You're going to end up with a bunch of muckers. Just a bunch of guys falling all over the crease for twosie times six.
I just love that answer.
It's a very good answer.
I think it's the way I've heard it articulated the best, quite honestly.
You know, the one thing that, like, I'm not a huge analytics guy, but you know where I want analytics? Mm. Is that when you compare the playoffs to the regular season, it's like just one or the other. And I don't look at the regular season as like just one blanket 82 games. Start giving me numbers on what your numbers are against legitimate playoff teams.
Love that.
And who's good and who has better goalies. Don't give me we scored in the regular season. Tell me where the goals came from against which teams. Because as we've stated over the last 3 years we've been together, half the league stinks.
Yeah.
Okay? So I want to know
the Premier League.
I want to know where the numbers are. How many goals during the regular season have you scored against non-playoff teams compared to the Bostons, the Tampas, and the good teams? That's the number that you need to focus on.
Has someone given you something like this over the course of the year? Have you seen something like this?
No, nothing.
Nothing you haven't seen? Because you mentioned it a few times, and it's very easy to get.
But I
numbers.
Do know, like, if Austin scored 70 goals, I can tell you right now, over half of them are against non-playoff teams.
Well, Kip, I hate to say that, but that's the exact
I know,
math.
But that's, you know, but I don't know where the cutoff line is.
Yeah.
Like, Sam Reinhart, like, I think Austin had 6 hat tricks this year.
Mm-hmm.
6 of those teams didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm just, if you really want to get down to it, it's, there's a small core of teams that can really look at themselves and go, yeah, we can go deep here.
This is how you come up with a great idea to research, and it's a really good one. Which core players are performing better against top half teams compared to the other guys?
Yes.
Someone out there, get me that information.
Mike Kelly.
Where are you at?
Where are you at?
You know, well, we'll find that out.
That would be a Kippers Clipper.
There you go. Let's get some details.
You know, to kind of defend Keith Pelley a little bit here, like you went and fired a coach, and that was, I describe it as low-hanging fruit. Mm. But outside of that, nobody really expected him to make a decision on Brendan Shanahan.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, what do you mean? Yes, they did.
It's the reason why he turned around and said, he's my president, and he's a champion, and he's, that's...
It makes sense to keep him, but I think plenty of people...
For Keith Pelley, it makes sense to keep him.
Yes, it does.
Right? It does. It makes no sense to send him home. And, you know, lots of talk about Brendan only having 1 year deal. He hinted that might not be the case here. But regardless, you're really going to send him home to collect a paycheck? And it's a big paycheck, guys.
Yeah.
Big one.
You think, but I think this is a situation of a two different circles of conversation there, Kipper. Maybe the people, like, everyone expected him to not be around anymore. Like, I think one of the biggest conversations right after they lost was like, well, that's it for Shanahan. That's it for this era of Leafs hockey.
So tell me something.
I get why he kept them, but
if it went today, if it was just Keith Pelley and Brad Tree living up there by themselves, how would you have felt today?
Okay. To be honest, going into the press conference, wouldn't have felt that way. But the way that Brad Tree living handled himself today and the way he talked and the way he just, my trust in him, and it's talk is cheap, but my trust in him went up after this press conference, and I would have felt differently. I thought he spoke beautifully.
What's hard with Shanny is, like, I do trust his decision making. I have a lot of respect for him. Think he's, you know, by all accounts, a good guy. But there's a lot of emotions tied up in this now, you know, where a guy trying to hang on to his job who's partially responsible for the failures, it doesn't quite feel like a fresh start.
And what about, like, if they change the whole philosophy, does he still get the same credit that he would have if the core four thing had worked?
Right.
Like, if they're like, for example, they trade Marner and Riley are gone.
Yeah.
And those guys were part of the thing, or Marner and Tavares are both gone. And his whole philosophy was, the core four is going to work. It's going to work. If those guys get traded, you change the whole philosophy of the team, is it still him getting all the credit? Like, I don't know.
It depends on, like, how do you view this now?
We still don't know what he does. No one really talks
Brendan
about that.
Brendan Shanahan, when he signed 10 years ago, it started off with Lewicki, and then Lewicki fell off, and then there was nobody outside of that. So Brendan got to go to the board on all of the decisions, right?
Yeah.
Now that's not the case. Now he's got to go to Keith Pelley. So
and then Keith that's
a major change in his
role.
So now do we get the sense that Brendan and Brad are going to work together, and when they have a big key decision, they go to Keith, and Keith says yes or no? Or
We should add another step.
It would have been nice to get a question about the hierarchy for hockey decisions. Yeah. I do think that there's been an evolution in the role of president, and I'm not sure what Brendan's role is supposed to be. Because initially I felt like he came from the NHL – and was taking a business job. Like, president to me was a business role for a lot of these teams, but now it feels like a hockey job. So I don't really.
Well, he was hockey operations, which.
What does that mean?
It means.
Like, running a hockey team is hockey operations.
Hiring a general manager and overseeing trades and the coaching philosophy and.
Okay.
Personnel.
See, operations to me isn't.
Operations hockey. Top to bottom for me. Yeah. Anything that operates the hockey club, I am the president.
Okay. I believe you, and I believe me. I'm saying I don't know. To me, I always thought of it as like, okay, how do we get the cheapest flights to Denver? You know, like that's the operations.
You call a travel agent.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. That's what I thought Brendan did. He called travel agents. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that is.
We haven't heard from Shanny yet.
We haven't, and I would say I don't know if you want to do the opening statement first, but clip two, Luke Fox asked a very good question. You tell me where you're
going. Yeah, I think the biggest conversation in the offseason is about Marner and Tavares, right? And Luke asked a very pointed question about if he would be willing to have the approach them to waive their no-trade clause, basically, and this was the answer to that clip two.
Thanks, Luke. I think it's important to state, as we've discussed even – you know, since the season has ended, that everything is on the table. We will discuss everything. I don't think it serves the Toronto Maple Leafs in any fashion to discuss those things prematurely, to discuss those individuals prematurely. Our focus right now is on finding a new head coach, and certainly that new head coach will have an important voice as part of our decisions going forward. I'm just simply saying that whatever questions you guys ask us here today, generally speaking, are things that we're going to have to consider after the things that we've seen. Brad and Keith are relatively new here, but I am not. And I have seen some of these things over the years. And again, I do believe there's a time for preaching patience, and then I do believe there's a time where you have to examine some of the patterns that persist. So everything will be on the table. Not to get into any specifics today, I don't think that serves the Toronto Maple Leafs.
So
address the patterns that persist. So that's obviously talking about postseason failures. I don't understand the word prematurely. I don't think it helps us discuss what's premature about it. It's time to have the conversation.
And patience too, right? Like that's a tough word to throw out to Leaf Nation.
But he said it's not time for patience, which it's not, which is why it's not premature. It's actually time to have that discussion.
Yeah.
So I don't.
But he did mention that there's also time to not make hasty decisions as well.
Mm-hmm. For sure. But I think if you're going to strip down the politician layers
sure,
of that answer.
Run it through a speak human on me.
The answer is yes.
Yeah.
And if, like, yes.
Well, he said, generally speaking, what you're going to ask us about, we're going to discuss.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to come up.
But listen, it's.
Little from column A.
It's stating the obvious. You go to any trade deadline on any team, we're going to look at anything that makes our team better.
But they didn't say that in the past. In the past, they said, we believe we have what it takes in this room right here. We have it.
Yeah, but there was. But this time you know what would happen if they would have tried that statement.
Yeah, we lit them up.
Oh, the fire and squad. He's sharpening the knives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess the idea is they came out and they said they're going to do what they should do. They're going to talk about all these things. Talk about potentially moving some pieces. I guess they got to hire a coach. Beyond that, you're right, Kip, that it was kind of what you thought it might be. There were no huge shocks. I think if you're them and you're sitting back in the green room after the conference, you went, nailed it. You know, we didn't get in any trouble. I don't
know. Oh, yeah, they're clinking glasses at
Harbor 60. I don't think anybody's going, we nailed it. We got through it.
We consumed the crap sandwich and didn't die.
We got through it.
Yes.
Now let's just go to work, I guess.
Yeah. I guess.
You want to go to Brendan Shanahan on, we just did Marner and Tavares?
Yeah, I mean, he kind of alluded to more changes being needed, just more further to kind of the clip two there, if you want to play clip three.
That is the difficult question that we've looked back and had different experiences where if you were to just live in a vacuum and just view this one playoff, you may have a different view of our team and the optimism and the closeness of where they were, but we can't think that way now after seeing what we've seen year after year after year. And that's where I'm saying that I do believe that there's a time where the right answer is patience, and then there comes a time where you have to say that that you have new information to you, the information has evolved, and you have to adjust your way of thinking.
So, more alluding to the fact that
things have to move.
Yeah.
I thought a large portion of the press conference that interested me was the injury reports. You guys want to discuss those?
Did they get pushed on it?
What do you mean pushed?
Like, there were people clamoring to figure out the injuries?
I wanted to know, didn't you?
I know you wanted to know. I'm just sitting there going, I would have avoided it like the plague.
Every year, though, people report what happened to their guys.
Yeah.
William Nylander, we knew severe migraines. I think they called them ocular migraines. Austin Matthews was sick for a bit, and then head injury issues. So concussion-like symptoms, I believe.
Okay.
No.
And he was only cleared for game 7.
Yeah. Okay. We don't know, mm-hmm. right?
Still, like, you didn't...
don't know. Maybe concussion, maybe not. I don't know.
If it's a concussion, why wouldn't they just say it?
Because they're not sure, so you can couch it with symptoms.
Okay. I think if you say concussion, right? Then you probably would have had to go through some sort of protocol that they didn't go through. But, yeah, he...
Joe Wall?
So here's the one I don't like. Joseph Wall. I heard them all. I heard all the things, and I was like, yeah, MCL sprain, shoulder surgery...
Was Joseph Wall bad back?
Sprained back.
Sprained back. I'd rather have a sprained back than a headache.
Yes. I don't think... What?
I'm saying, like, sprained back to me is a sprained back. Headache, when you're not sure if it's a concussion or not, is like, come on, bud.
Which one? The head? You think you should play with the head?
I'm just saying, if it's... I think he should have found a way to kind of push himself through it. I do.
Oh, wow.
I do.
Yeah, I mean, these head... And I'm not, I don't agree with that.
Unless you're defending... If it's not a concussion, to me, like, at least a sprained back's... It's there. It's a sprained back.
Back is
it's
a
like
physical...
Maybe you're got a concussion. Maybe you don't. Maybe... How much do you... I've played, you know, with headaches before. I mean...
Headaches is severely minimizing what, you know, it may be. If he had a headache, he'd take aspirin and play.
I'm saying it's an easier sell. A sprained back is an easier sell than a headache. That's all.
Not to me. Because it's not a headache.
Okay, then why are you telling me that you have a problem with a sprained back?
Because I think a sprained back is a physical ailment that you can play through with drugs and heat and everything else.
We're saying the same thing, but we got opposite sides on sure. Headache to a back.
Well, there's nothing to... you can't put ice or a heat pack or take something like when you're foggy and sick because you're... Your brain's not right, but to me, a physical ailment.
That's funny.
We do not agree.
That's funny.
Is it?
Wow. I'm like, find a way to get through a headache. Yeah. And you're saying, find a way to get through a sprained back.
Yeah. No, it is.
It's the back.
Yeah. Either way, people think we're animals. Yeah. I can tell you that.
Buddy,
but
the game's an animal.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the way you need, this is the way you play the game.
Right.
This is the culture of the game.
Yeah.
Okay. We put people on pedestals that aren't supposed to play, but play. What a warrior. That's how you win in the playoffs. This is what you need. This is leadership. This is... Mm. That's the way we've talked about this game for generations.
Because people do put their physical being on the
back.
Line for their
team. That's how you get a statue.
It is... I would love to talk to teammates of these guys and be like, any of those bother you at all?
What do you think?
I think probably.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear Rachel Living talk about the goaltending for the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Yes.
Okay. Clip 5, please.
Joe, I've got faith in Joe. Now, like everybody else, there's questions. There's questions that, you know, why the biggest question with Joe is he's gotten injured a lot. We have to dig into that. Is that sometimes that happens? Sometimes bad luck happens. Is there a training issue that we have to deal with? Do we need to change something in his off-ice routine? All those things is what we have to dig into. I believe in Joe as a goaltender. We have to support Joe. Ilya's contract's up, but we certainly have to try to put ourselves in a position where we don't have the second best goaltender in each of these series. But I think it's a function of both sides, not just our goaltending, but what we do to make things difficult on the other team's goaltender.
They got to go get a goalie.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree
like,
more.
Like if the list wasn't long enough. Yeah. Now.
The Samsonov one is just like, his contract's up.
That's
no further comment.
His contract's up.
Yeah. That's all you need to know. So he's not coming back.
But.
By the way, the guy sent me, I got the stats already on the guys against playoff and non-playoff teams. We can talk about it later.
Okay.
Yeah. Thanks to Josiah Bosch for that.
Oh, there you go.
Our guy.
Yeah.
How good of a goalie do you need now?
UC Soros.
I don't mind paying him 5.5 for next year. I mind everything after that.
Now the question is, is Joseph Woll, if you think you can solve him not finding ways to be hurt, then it's not Soros.
Okay, who is it?
I don't know.
Why is it Soros?
Because you trust
because Soros is coming to be the goalie for the next 3 or 4 years, and Joseph Woll will never be anything more than a backup. That's why.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Soros, if he's a free agent and you're kind of playing that year as a buffer year, you have your, I don't know, you have a pretty good goalie duo, and they have the guy in the minors, is the Askarov kid, that's like their goalie of the future. Trott said they maybe want to pay Soros. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's a massive target for me.
Markstrom. He was getting shopped.
Oh yeah, I'm sure
Calgary. Calgary.
Lucky. Yeah,
Calgary won't trade.
Yeah,
with Toronto.
Why is every guy that at least want to trade for on Calgary?
I don't know. So many guys that would have fit here this year.
Yeah,
but clearly that has to be addressed. Something, and we've had this conversation. Like, how does a guy find a way to get hurt all the time like this? Bad luck? Is it just bad luck?
I suppose it is, but like people are made differently. We have different physical constitutions, and some people are a little bit more hardy for whatever reason. He seems to have pigeon bones. I don't know. I hope he figures it out. There are cases in NHL history where players have long runs of bad injury luck, and then they kind of figure it out. Remember Crosby's concussions? We were like, this guy's never going to play a full career.
God, him missing game 7 is just
that
shook the trust to the core.
And I wonder, like, could he have played 2 days later? Like, is it just one of those things that it was just a tweak before game 7?
Wouldn't
too
loosen
quick
up
a turnaround
on him.
And
flew, got on
with
the plane.
0.3 seconds save a shutout.
But it wasn't the knee.
Everyone
thought it was the knee that he kind of bent over. So if it was later in that game, maybe it was a different thing
couldn't it have been that play?
I don't know. He dove. Knows. I'm not a doctor, pal. I was saying that Willie should play with eye migraines.
We clearly are not doctors either.
Everyone thinks we're Neanderthals, but...
Yeah.
We are.
Yeah, you're right. We are. Anything else from those clips that you see there that you're interested in?
No, but we got to... we'll come back after the break.
Sure.
We'll get Brad Treliving's thought on a coaching search and the latest on Joel Quenneville and the thought that maybe he could be back on an NHL bench as early as next season.
Oh, okay.
And Luke Fox, all after the break.
Don't go away.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective. Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee in our Leaf edition hour, The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. All right, we go to Luke. I thought we were doing Luke at 4:40.
It's 4:38.
Oh, is it?
Time
flies. Okay, let's go to Luke. Luke, how are you?
I'm doing okay.
Okay.
I think I might be done with Leaf press conferences until we go meet Craig Berube or something in a week or so.
Okay. You tell me where you want to start on what you saw and what you heard this morning out of the three bigwigs from the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, I think you hit it right there. I think just the fact that there were three and not two. For once, Brendan Shanahan was not the most powerful man sitting up at the dais. You know, I think Keith Pelley's presence, and he said, hey, I'm not going to make a habit of this. I'm not always going to be here. But just him showing up made it feel like there was some weight to it. You know, he said the things people expected to hear, like, I want to win a Stanley Cup and nothing below that will be satisfactory. Like, that's what ownership wants. That's what I want. We want to win. But just his presence kind of diminished immediately Brendan Shanahan's role. So he's sitting there and suddenly he has a flesh and bone boss that he reports to, someone we can see, not this, you know, faceless board that he reports to. I think the other thing was, is he going to can Brendan Shanahan right away? You know, he's had 10 chances to build a team that goes deep and hasn't got it done. 8 legitimate chances in terms of a roster that has made the playoffs. And I think that was the big question. Is he going to fire Shanahan? Obviously, he's not. He's sticking around. But for the first time in a long time, it felt like Shanahan's power is diminished and his job is very much on the line.
Luke, what did you take away as, oh, and I hate this corporate buzzspeak word, actionable items from that press conference? Like, what is going to happen to the Leafs roster? What did you take away for actual tangible change that's going to come?
Well, they said everything is on the table. So I think that actually should include a conversation with Mitch Marner and John Tavares. They hold a lot of power here in the fact that they negotiated no move clauses. They earned that through their negotiation. I'm pro player. Like, if you get everything you can. So they have that. But we've reached the point now where they finally realized the core five isn't working. Like, that's finally sunk in. And time will tell. I'm afraid for Leafs Nation that maybe they've figured this out too late because the players have this protection. But at least they're going to have that conversation with them. I think they will talk about that. The other thing is, I think they realize Samsonov is gone. They want to change Joseph Woll's training habits over the course of the summer to hopefully turn him into a goalie that can stay healthy. They love the guy. They love his mentality. Mm-hmm. They love his positioning, his calmness in the net. And I would agree with that. But what good is that if your season's on the line and he's up in the press box because he's too unhealthy to play? So I think they want to take a look at how he's training, hopefully get him on a healthier regime. They're going to have to find a tandem mate for him. That's an actionable item because Samsonov's not coming back. And they're going to have to build a blue line, and they're going to have to find more guys, you know, that are playoff ready, that are playoff reformers. Brad Treliving said something really interesting. He said, our goals in total got escalated. We're growing that number, but he's looking at the how we score goals, and the how has gotten worse.
Do they need to do something in the offseason? Can they look like the same team come September in training camp?
I don't think they can. I think they need some bigger changes. Just because imagine those guys all reporting into camp in September, and yeah, there's going to be a new voice in terms of the head coach. But when the going gets tough, are they going to start throwing gloves and bickering with each other because it's the same faces that have had so many disappointments? Or are they going to feel like there's a refreshed sense of new energy amongst the roster, not just amongst the coach, not just the new GM, but actually the guys they're, you know, quote unquote, going to war with every day? I think that there needs to be a reset there. I don't think it would fly.
Yeah, and you hope it's not like in March. They're like, you know, we're going to do it at the deadline. Like, it would be nice for the team to have a fresh feel going into the season. So then the question becomes, what is your sense or understanding of how the hierarchy works? You know, we were talking earlier in the show about Brendan Shanahan's role in the hockey decisions. We want this player. We don't want that one. You know, do you think he's heavily involved in the day-to-day decisions on, you know, this is who we want to play, or is that really tree living?
Oh, like the roster, like who they're dressing?
Well, who they're dressing, who they're trading for. Like, how much is the actual personnel Shanahan related?
My sense is who they're trading for. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That type of stuff. As in, oh, we're going to healthy scratch David Kampf tonight. I don't think it goes that deep, granular. I would like to think not. I would like to think he trusts Trey Living to handle that type of stuff. But yeah, Mitch, if are we going to have a Mitch Marner trade conversation? For sure, Shanahan's involved in that. Mm-hmm. Now, I think my sense was Keith Pelley wants to be a little hands off and let them do their thing, but he's going to be keeping a much closer eye on what they do than the board did, which is who Shanahan used to report directly to.
Gotcha.
We're talking to Luke Fox, Leaf and NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. Regardless if they go to John Tavares to lift his no move this summer or not, do you fully expect that in his last year of his deal, a transition to captaincy? Do you expect him not to be the captain next year, even if he returns?
I expect that to be a conversation. Yeah. I'm not so sure. I'm not certain it's going to go one way or the other. But I actually think, you know what, in being around John these last couple of years, he often defers to Austin Matthews. Like, he's one of the best players in the world. He's the engine that drives our team. So he's a smart guy. I think he knows that he's no longer the alpha dog. And I got to give some props to him. I love the fact that he's dressing up for Hockey Canada, you know, and going over there. He's fighting this. You know, he's fighting father time. I think deep in his mind, he's like, maybe I can make the fourth line of Team Canada in the Four Nations Cup. I think he's that driven. Now, whether that's realistic, that's up for debate. But he is not going to go down without a fight. But in terms of the captaincy, I think there's a way that this could be a smoother transition than some people realize. Because I think Tavares has already conceded that he's not the main guy here anymore.
Mm-hmm. So Sheldon Keefe has moved on, and there's an open coaching position. What are you hearing about Sheldon? Is there any opportunity for him elsewhere? And what about potential replacements for him? You know, where do you have it sort of narrowed down to a handful of guys you expect?
Yeah, for Sheldon, I'm hearing Jersey, which would be really fascinating. But it's entirely his choice. You know, he's got it made, right? He's got the soft landing. He's getting a raise coming up, and he doesn't have to coach a day of that raise if he doesn't want to. Or so there could be a chance where he jumps in, stays right in the league, and say, "Hey, I want this. I thrive off this." Or he can take a year off. You know, you guys know how this business is. You know how quickly coaches get fired. Maybe there's an even better opportunity that pops up midway through the season, or he takes a full year off, just bees a dad, collects his paycheck, and then looks at the landscape then. So he's in a really nice position, which might explain all the smiles in his farewell video that he shot. And as for the Leafs coaching position, I am hearing that Craig Berube is the front runner. I checked in with someone who would know, and you guys maybe should follow up with Doug on this one, because he's the Gerard Gallant whisperer. To my knowledge, he hasn't yet been contacted for an interview, but I think he would be and should be a person of interest. I don't think they want to uncover some new upstart coach. I think they're going to get a familiar voice, whoever it is. I wonder if the Leafs have enough power to talk the NHL into reinstating Joel Quenneville. It's just, I think, you know, if there was no baggage, he'd probably be the perfect guy just because of the presence he commands. I think that this group needs a voice that comes in there that with some heft to it, a guy that they're going to listen to and respect, and preferably with a ring on his finger, some deep runs on his resume. But right now, yeah, it seems like Berube is the front runner. I hope they interview multiple guys. My understanding is Kyle Dubas didn't interview a single other person. He just handpicked Sheldon Keefe. And if they just handpick Berube the way Shanahan handpicked Trey Living without really doing a thorough search, I think that's a mistake. I think they should take their time. And maybe they should wait to see how this Carolina Hurricanes series shakes out. Maybe they get swept.
You want a coach that's been swept 2 years in a row?
I want a coach who coaches a team.
I want a coach that gets his guys to take 50 shots and tries to bring Shesterkin down.
We'll keep an eye on the coaching carousel. Hey, Luke, thanks for doing this, man.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Thanks, right. Luke.
Luke Fox.
Have a good one.
So Luke mentioned Joel Quenneville. Mm-hmm. Now the word I'm getting out of the National Hockey League is that that his future is undecided as of yet, and they have not ruled out Joel Quenneville coming back as early as next season.
Hmm.
Now I'm wondering if that's the influence of the Toronto Maple Leafs saying, we're opening this up and we'd like a chance to talk to Joel Quenneville.
Sammy, how did your poll go?
Funny you ask.
So McKee put out a poll to Leafs Nation. Would you be okay with Joel Quenneville as the head coach of the Leafs? Couple thousand votes
in 24 hours, 2,000 over 2,000 votes. 52.3% of people said yes.
Wow.
47.7% of people said no.
That's tight.
Mm-hmm.
That is,
you know, for a guy who's won three Stanley Cups, that's obviously reflective of
like
people's discomfort.
When did he last coach
Florida?
Yeah, what year?
20, yeah, like
How long ago?
21?
Is it 3 years ago?
Yeah.
It's a long time. Seasons.
Well, I think the best point from yesterday was just, you got to tell him he can either coach or he can't coach. You can't leave him kind of dangling. Like, you can coach in 2 years. It's a five-year ban. You can coach.
He
didn't answer.
He coached seven games with the Florida Panthers in 21-22. His record at that time, 7-0.
What's that? Sorry?
His record at that time was 7-0.
They were 7-0 when he was unseen.
Any worry or thought that, like, it's been a while here, and would you be getting the same Joel Quenneville that is second in league history? Has he, you know, the things that he's gone through in the last 3 years, is that going to affect the way he coaches? Is it going to affect the way players look at him? Is that not a conversation that you need to have?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know how you don't have that conversation. I think the perception, like, it's a younger league, you know, I the way guys maybe look at him, the way maybe people talk about him, I don't know.
It might not be a slam dunk that
I agree.
This is the right hire. You think you're getting Stanley Cup champion and all of that pedigree, and you can, but is it?
Some of the guys might look at him.
Is it still there, though? Is it still there?
And then the media
perception, and
I just don't think, you know, we talked yesterday. I think it was about the difference between X's and O's guys versus motivational run through a wall guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone's pretty similar, X's and O's, fairly, like, not entirely, but, like, does it take away from Quenneville's run through a wall for that guy if you feel like some of that reputation is tainted?
Yeah.
And so maybe you're not getting what you think you're getting in him, and then maybe it's just not worth it, you know? And I do think someone would take a chance on him, but the Leafs are at a pretty pivotal point in their franchise here, and it'd be a weird hire for me at this
point. I mean, Pelly said multiple times that the only priority
is winning. And to be honest, like, that's good, I think, for fans that they're going to prioritize winning, mm-hmm. but I don't
just
think
win.
That he meant at the cost of
31 teams prioritizing that, right? Yeah. Come on.
Oh, not the Sharks.
Come on.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, I know I'm just saying, like, he kept bringing it up over and over and over and over. And if you're trying to be this cutthroat, you think you'll do anything to win. Boy, that's doing anything to win. Mm-hmm. And that's a dicey one, especially in this market. I the more I think about it, the more I don't want it.
Yeah.
It's just, he's been away a while. I don't know. This feels a little greasy.
Do you want a tree living clip on the coaching search?
Yeah, let's have it.
Clip one, tree living.
Listen, there's some good coaching candidates out there. We intend to explore them. I'm not going to get into specific individuals. As far as the timeline, Terry, we want to be thorough, but we also understand there's other openings. You know, it was a difficult day yesterday. You know, and I think the process that we went through up until the puck went in the net Saturday night, we're doing, our focus is solely on trying to win that series. And then you go through, you know, you go through all the stages, right? I believe you got to step back. You don't want to make emotional decisions, and it's been emotional. It still is. So I wanted to deal with Sheldon properly and really be clear and think that process through, spend some quality time with him. And then once that decision was made, get on to the next step. So we began that yesterday. You know, we're not waiting. We're going to be thorough. This isn't something that's going to be hastily done. But we certainly know that there's some quality candidates out there, and we want to get to them as fast as we possibly can.
Got to think by next week they'll name a head coach.
There will be a new coach, the Toronto Maple Leafs, by next week.
Oh, we'll have something to talk about next week in Early Fire.
Yeah.
Odds on Craig Berube?
Gotta be. Not that I'm saying that's my choice, but just I can't see
anyone else. McClellan, I could see.
Yeah, I can see.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
I do. Yeah.
What do you
I think it's flip a coin between the two of them.
Wow.
Yeah. Only they know right now where they're leaning towards.
Dun, dun,
dun. All right, our thanks to Luke Fox from Sportsnet.ca. After the break, it's Doug McClain off the rails Friday. Don't go away.